Let's thank the Lord for Calvary. Let's praise Him that He made it available for all of us. Hallelujah. Lord, I want to thank You for the blood of Jesus and for the sacrifice, for making it available for every one of us. Oh God, I love You and praise You and give You the honor and the glory for it all. Precious Lord, You're mighty God. I thank You so much. Oh, I praise You for Calvary. Glory to God. Amen. I want to read from Acts chapter 11, but unless I change my mind, I think I'm going to wait to give out these packets maybe after I come back from Costa Rica, and we'll try and go out and invite people maybe a little bit better. I know the Lord wanted us here last night at the time that we were here. And if you was here during the prayer meeting, you'd say that there was a good anointing in that time of prayer. But and I know that the Lord blessed us in our prayer and was effective in that. But maybe there might be a better time to do this knocking on doors. But I sure have that in my heart. And I want to try to get the word out about Jesus Christ as big and as good as we can. Amen. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 11 and verse 19 says, "Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord." I want to preach tonight on a growing church. A great number believed and turned to the Lord. Would you stretch your hand this way? Just ask God to help me preach here tonight. Bless us. Father, we need You. I need You. This church needs You. And I'm praying for the Holy Ghost to anoint me, encourage this church, and bless Your people, Lord. Let us work more fervently than we have ever done, or at least revive us to where that we would work in a greater measure than we have in years. Help us to be able to work in the vineyard, to work in the harvest field, and gather a great harvest for the Lord Jesus Christ until Jesus comes and takes this church out of this world. And I praise Your holy name and thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to note that this growing church grew in spite of persecution. Persecution broke out, and these people were scattered abroad in that persecution that arose about Stephen. As that they were scattered, they did not get discouraged, though. Some people would feel as though that the devil's ability to persecute the church would defeat the church. Now, I want to tell you that the devil cannot defeat a church that has Christ as Lord of their life. Satan hates the church, because he hates God. And the church is the apple of God's eye, so to say. He gave a great price for this church to be a part of His people. And every child of God that walks this planet prophesies of the eventual defeat and doom of the devil. Every child of God that lives in this world speaks on a daily basis to the devil that he is going to be defeated. Just like Christ defeated Satan in your life, God is going to defeat Satan one day. Amen. At the Battle of Armageddon, and one day he's going to be locked up in a pit forever. Every child of God prophesies his doom. Every child of God reminds him of his defeat at Calvary, and what a defeat it was. And I want to tell you right now that Satan hates this church. He hates the church worldwide. And he would love to shut the mouths of those that proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ. And while it was the intention of the devil to quieten the voice of the church by persecuting it, when the persecution rose about Stephen, all he did was scatter the message. He did not in any wise stop the gospel from being preached. Christ had told them when that they were persecuted to go to another city and keep on living the Christian life. Keep on proclaiming the ways of God. That's exactly what these folks done. When that they were violently treated in Jerusalem, they went out of Jerusalem and went as far as Antioch. And though, amen, that there was a great influence against them, the power that was within them and the life-changing force of Jesus Christ would not keep them from proclaiming the great message that they had. Let me just tell you, there may be an influence that the church can always have even when the persecution arises. If one rejects Christ, the Lord will still work through other people in the world to receive him. And so therefore, we must look for folks. If we go to one family and that family is rejected by the Lord Jesus Christ, then let's try and speak to somebody else. Throughout church history, it seems as though the way the Spirit has moved is like a dove. He would come down upon a group of people, and as that he was there, he would have great revival and folks would come to Christ. But then when that they offended him, he did not stop working. He may have flew to another place, but in this world, there will always be a church. In this world, there will always be a group of people that will proclaim Christ. If Jerusalem rejects him, then Antioch will hear him. Amen. Back in the 1700s, there was a French Revolution. In that French Revolution, the atheists were great proponents and great and powerful influence there. But on the very day that France seemingly rejected Christ and tore down churches, on that very day, November 11th, 1793, William Carey landed in India and claimed a new continent for the Savior when France was renouncing Jesus Christ. Both events took place on the same day. Let me tell you something. If France don't want him, there'll be people in India that will. And I just want to do the will of God myself. I want him to stay right here, don't you, church? Amen. There's a group of people that really, if you trace the Pentecostal and Methodist and so on back to, you'll go back to John Huss and the Moravians. But the Moravian revival in Germany under Count Zinzendorf, started just after the Puritan revival in England had went out. Amazing, isn't it? But then when this revival in Germany was taken over by the modern thoughts and atheists and people that had got into the church that questioned the word of God, guess what? Amen. The Methodist under John Wesley and Charles Wesley, amen, came out and started preaching, and revival came to America as well as England. Then Finney and Moody in America. And after that, the Pentecostal revival. Listen, folks, there are some people that's going to reject Christ. There may even be some nations that reject Christ. But if the bird, the dove of the Holy Ghost is grieved one place, don't think that he's not going to keep on working. He may not work in that area, but he's going to keep on working in other areas. I want him to keep on working here, don't you? Amen. I just want you to understand, amen, that if you're working in a certain segment with a certain people, they seem to be hard, try someplace else. See what God will do with someone else. Amen. And I also suppose when I look at this, how that persecution scattered the gospel, I also believe that we need to always look for God to move even when it seems like the worst time for him to move. Who would have ever thought that these people who had no telling what done to them in Jerusalem to make them want to leave and traveled all this way to Antioch and were tired and weary in the great big move that they had taken, who would have ever thought that in all of this trouble and turmoil and trials that the message would go forth with power and such might and revival would come to this city? I want you to know God uses unusual means to bring about his gospel. And I realize some of you may be in troubles and trials and problems even now, but don't think that God can't move to use you to win your family and to win your neighbors and to win your friends. Yes, America's political situation may be the worst it's ever been, at least in our lifetime. But don't count the church out just yet. Amen. God loves to use the church when it's under pressure. And we may get more and more under pressure, but I'll tell you, there's a greater power that's in the church than is in this world. The thing that encourages me about this is, in this text, is what the devil intended to do to stop the church did not stop the church. It only made it grow. And I realize that there are things that come against the people of God from time to time, but the devil can't stop a true work of God. And this church, this local church, is a true work of God. And I believe we can continue on, even if we're facing challenges like no Americans have ever faced in past. Our liberties may be compromised, but where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Amen. Our freedoms may be taken away, but there's a greater freedom by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. And we can still grow even when persecuted, if that's the case. I want to just tell you, even if we still enjoy great liberties and freedoms in America, even though it may be difficult, that does not mean, amen, that the church is boxed in and can't do anything. Amen. There may be challenges all around us, religious false doctrines that capture people's hearts and minds. Amen. People that are bound by drugs and alcohol, folks that are just plain old satisfied in sin and not under conviction. I'll tell you, it doesn't matter. The church is still able to work when that things are going against the church. Can you say amen? So this was a growing church in spite of the problems that it was going through. But it was also a growing church that never got sidetracked. It never got on a minor, smaller course than what God had intended for it. They lived up to their purpose. They lived up to what God wanted them to have. First of all, I'll tell you what the main reason that the church is still here in this world. They're to lift up and proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. We are to preach his life. We are to preach his death. We are to talk of his teachings. We're speaking of his resurrection and his soon coming, how that he is Savior and Lord and healer and a soon coming king. We're supposed to stay loyal to the Lord Jesus. And these people loved him, and they showed their loyalty under pressure. And you may be under pressure at work. You may be under pressure by certain other things that's coming to your mind. And I'll tell you, you can keep on loving God even when you're under pressure. These people did, and the church of the last day can still love God even though there's an amazing amount of pressure still upon the people of the Lord. Let me also tell you, these people loved the Lord and showed it by talking about him and proclaiming his message of his life and how that he is a Savior. There are many people that love their family and are able to talk about them so quickly. Amen. Grandparents that want to show you pictures of their grandchildren. Amen. A boyfriend wants to tell you about his girlfriend and so on. Just because they're overflowing with a certain love for those individuals in their lives. Listen, we have a greater love. The Lord Jesus Christ needs to be our message. And we need to have this overflowing devotion and love for him that will cause us to constantly speak of him and lift him up. Praise the Lord. Thirdly, their love of the Lord was showed by their faithfulness to Christ's teachings. Yes, Jesus taught things. He taught things by his life. He taught things by his miracles. He taught with his words and his sermons, and some of that is recorded. But we also have the messages and letters of the epistles of the apostles. And these are the teachings of Christ as well. For they continued in the apostles' doctrine. Why? Because the Lord had spoken to the apostles and taught them what they needed to say. Even the apostle Paul, who did not walk with him, amen, he said in 1 Corinthians 11, I received of the Lord. Amen. How that in the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread and blessed it and break it and so on, talked about communion. Where did he get that? From Peter and James and John? No, he got it from the Lord. The Lord showed it to him. And I want to tell you, when we read Paul's letters and Peter's letters and John's letters and the gospel of Matthew and Mark and Luke, these are the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to be faithful to them. Amen. I'm not ashamed of any of them. The Bible says that Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me and my words, I'll be ashamed of you. It's not just being ashamed of Jesus and his name, Jesus and his cross, but Jesus and his words. And so I'll tell you what, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed to proclaim like Brother David did tonight that he's the only way to heaven. I'm not ashamed to proclaim, amen, that sin will bring you to hell. Amen. That immorality is wrong. That divorce and remarriage is wrong. That's what Jesus said. Amen. Jesus said, as in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the day. Amen. I'm telling you that homosexuality and sodomy is wrong. Why? I'll tell you why. Because Jesus said it. And I believe it. I also believe Jesus is coming again. No matter how many false prophets have foretold it in a wrong way, no matter how many cults take and pervert prophecy, I'm just going to tell you, Jesus said it, and it's right and it's real. Amen. Adultery's wrong whether you actually do it or you look in lust through pornography. Amen. I'm telling you, hatred and anger is wrong. It doesn't matter if it's murder or if it's something boiling in your spirit. Amen. I want you to understand you're supposed to bless your enemies because Jesus said that. We're supposed to love people because Jesus said that. And I don't have enough time to preach and teach everything, but I'm not ashamed of what Jesus, my Savior, preached to us. Glory to God. Amen. This church lifted up Jesus. This church also preached repentance. You notice the Bible says that they turned to the Lord Jesus. What did they do? They turn from sin to the Lord Jesus. And even though many times folks want to proclaim that God loves, and he does, they do not want to teach about what God hates. And God hates sin. He hates all of it. He hates the smallest of it. I want to ask you something. If I could give you a little bit of cancer, would you take it? Just a little cancer, just a small little thing. You say, no, wait a second, I hate it all. I don't want it all. I can't stand it all. It's all bad, right? Amen. Who wants a little bit of cancer here? Nobody. Amen. I'll tell you what, if we feared sin like we fear cancer, if we looked at sin like we looked at cancer, we would start looking at it a little bit like God does. And I have a feeling the early church preached a whole lot about sin. Amen. And talked about how people needed to turn from their sins to the living God. A sinning religion was not in the early church's, amen, proclamation. Yes, Christ loves the world, but he also hates sin. That's why he died on the cross. If God and sin could get along, Jesus would have never had to die on a cross. But the cross proclaims to us that God and sin are enemies, and he must do something with it. And the only way for a sinner to go to heaven and be right with God is for the blood to wash him of his old guilty stains. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. I'll tell you this right now. If God hates sin so much that he'd send his own son to die upon a cross, how much more does he hate it now? Amen. He hated it just because he was holy before. Now people pile on top of their sins of immorality and anger and wickedness, whatever else, you know, gossip. They pile on it the rejection of their son, of his son and his sacrifice. I'll just tell you, God hates sin. Amen. That's the way the church has to stand. They didn't stray from their purpose. They lifted Jesus high and put sin low and declared that there had to be a faith in Christ in order for people to be saved. They were not saved by good works or being good people or having a good religious system. It's because they trusted in Christ alone. And listen, one fear that I might have is every once in a while I try to make it plain to you. I believe in holiness. I believe in complete modesty. I believe in women having long hair, men having haircuts. I believe in staying away from worldly places. I think that girls and boys both ought to have clothes that are not tight. Amen. Upon them. I believe the Bible teaches against jewelry and all of this other stuff, makeup and painting and whatever else. Amen. Stay the way God made you. Amen. And you'll be best. But listen, that's not what saves us. It's by faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. If you prayed 2 hours a day, amen, every day for the rest of your life, that would not save you unless you prayed to God in faith and trusted the Lord for your salvation. Good works come after salvation, but you don't buy salvation by good works. Oh, yes, it's by faith in Jesus. They turned from sin to belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they won souls. I'll tell you, I feel like we must win souls. Why? Amen. Jesus died for them. If you love Jesus, if we love Jesus, if I love Jesus like I need to, I believe I'll try and help those people that he died for. You know, every once in a while, there'll be a tragic event, and parents or friends will set up some fund to remember their son or daughter, however that it is, and say, we don't want them to die in vain. Maybe somebody will die of a certain disease and they'll bring an awareness to it or raise money for scientific research. And they say, we don't want our son or daughter or mom or dad to die in vain. Hey, man, I'm going to tell you right now, we ought to be stirred because Jesus died for this multitude of this sinning world. Amen. And we don't want them to die and go to hell because they don't have to. Jesus died for them. We need to win souls for Christ's sake, for the love of Jesus Christ, for his plan and purpose and why he came into this world. I say we need to raise up the bloodstained banner and wave it around and say there's salvation through Jesus. Right here you can find him. Amen. I believe that we need to win souls because we believe in an eternal hell where people will burn forever and ever and suffer torment and never have another chance to receive Christ. I believe we need to win souls because it's for the good of this church as well. You say, well, that sounds selfish, but I put Christ first. I put them second. But listen, this community needs this church. And not only does this community need this church, this world needs this church. This church has influenced people all over the world, on different continents, in different places, and we need to win souls. Amen. Thank God we've been able to send people out to pastor and missionary, and I'm glad that God has used us in that manner. And I'm also, I have to say this to you, my heart is saddened when our people die and go to heaven. I wish we could keep them all here until the trumpet blast, but I'll tell say one of the reasons the church is here is to get people to heaven. And so I thank God that we've been able to get some people to heaven. But if we're going to replace those in heaven, if we're going to replace those workers God sent out, we're going to have to win souls, because this church needs to continue in great power and influence this area as well as all around the world. Glory to God. The growing church never lost its power. The Bible says, for the hand of the Lord was with them. This indeed was a sign that God's power was upon them. Amen. Back in the Old Testament in 1 Kings 18 and 46, the Bible tells us that a prophet named Elijah outran King Ahab and all of his chariot and horses that he had. He outran him, and I don't know, it's several miles from the place that he started, and he beat him to the city. Listen, friend, God can help us outrun the powers of hell in this world, no matter how high in authority they may be, no matter how quick their horses may be, if only the hand of the Lord would come upon us. That power can make us into something that's greater than just a natural athlete, somebody that naturally runs. For we do not run because we've worked out, because that we've ran and done races. No, but because the power of God has come upon us and refreshed our strength. Later on in 2 Kings 3 and 15, there were some people in trouble and needed to hear a word from the Lord, and Elisha happened to be in their company. And so what did they do? They had a minstrel come and start playing, and as he played, the hand of the Lord came upon him, and he told them exactly what they needed to do. Hey, listen, we've got problems I do not know how to fix. We've got problems that are facing things that's too big for our intellects. But I'm preaching to you right now, if the hand of the Lord would come upon us and the anointing of the Holy Ghost would come upon us, he could open up our mouths and give us the solution for our day and speak the word to our generation. Hallelujah. Seven times Ezekiel spoke of the hand of the Lord being upon him and anointing him to prophesy. Amen. People recognized the special anointing upon John the Baptist by saying the hand of the Lord was upon him. And in our text, the church grew. Why? Because God's hand was upon him. The hand of the Lord speak of his mighty works. When the magicians in Egypt saw the miracles of Moses, they imitated some. But there came a time where they could not do it, and they said, this is the finger of God. Hallelujah. Amen. I realize there's some worldly magicians out there that imitate some of the things the true church does. I believe there can be a church in the end of time that has the hand of God upon them so powerfully that even the worldly wicked magicians of this world would have to stop and say, amen, that is the finger of God. We cannot do like that. We must depend upon his power. Amen. In order to do his work, how do we depend upon his power? By our prayer life. When we seek him and cry to him and lie awake at night at times, maybe in our beds, or wake up and say, oh God, amen, give us souls or we die. I read the story of John Knox. Amen. Back when Scotland was under the power of Bloody Mary, Queen of Scots. Amen. And how that she said, I fear the prayers of John Knox more than I fear the, amen, an army that marches. I can't remember how many in that army. Amen. And one night, John Knox got up out of bed. Amen. Had been praying so much, he staggered out into his front yard and collapsed under the weight of it all, and was crying, God, give me Scotland or I die. That day there was a revolution. Amen. Freedom of religion went out. The gospel was able to preach. Amen. The Presbyterian church arose in Scotland and many souls were saved. Why? Because a mighty man of prayer had the hand of God upon his life. Glory to God. We show this by how we worship, how we seek Him, how we long for Him, how we praise Him and magnify Him. Many a times we're like the king of Israel that sent out the singers to sing before they sent out the weapons of war. Why? Because it was God that was going to fight the battles. I want to ask you, who do we want fighting our battles? Our intellect, our ability, our singing, our talent, or the mighty God of heaven and earth? I want you to know right now that a worshiping church is a mighty church because the hand of God comes upon them. Glory to God. Could you say hallelujah right now? Could you wave your hand and say, thank you, Jesus? Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah! Oh, hallelujah! Hallelujah! Whew. I'm not going to get through my message tonight. I feel like stopping right here. Still got another couple of points that I'm going to tell you right now. Amen. It's God's will. It's God's will for churches to grow. But it's going to be when the hand of the Lord is upon them. And part of that is going to take place when we take time and spend time with God. It's amazing. Everybody wants to spend eternity with Him. But not many people will take time to be with Him. Can we really want to be with Him in eternity as much if we don't really want to be around Him in time? Oh, glory to God. Amen. I'll tell you the secret of it all. The secret of it all is spending time with God. Oh, yes. Amen. Oh, yes. Could we all stand right here tonight? I believe a growing church can grow in spite of problems. Amen. In spite of persecution. I believe a growing church can grow when we stay to the purpose of the church, lifting up Jesus. Preaching repentance. Hey man, listen, these were ordinary people. It wasn't just preachers doing this. When I say preach repentance, if you're at your work and God opens a door for you to witness and you speak of Jesus and talk about turning from sin, you're doing the job of proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. And I just tell you, God wants to use our church to win souls. Oh, I feel His presence so good and wonderfully here tonight. Could we just raise our hands and thank Him? Oh, God, I praise You, Lord. I worship You, my God in heaven. I thank You for Your mercy and Your grace. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, God. Oh, yes. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I mentioned the Moravian revival under Count Zinzendorf. The Moravians started earlier under John Huss, but a great revival took place at Zinzendorf Castle. He's a very rich, wealthy man, and he got to pray, and they had a 100-year prayer meeting. Started a prayer meeting around the clock. It lasted for 100 years. Hallelujah. No wonder. No wonder there was revival among the Moravian churches. Oh, praise His holy name. Whew, glory be to Jesus. Listen, friends. Amen. I believe His hand is available to us right here. He's able to touch us. And I have to admit, folks, I believe God wants to use our church in a mighty, mighty, mighty way. Don't you think all year long the Lord used us? I'm not bragging. I'm giving God the glory. I'm giving God the glory. But I'm also going to tell you, I think that He's wanting to use us in ways that probably is going to just blow our minds. Amen. People, I believe, can be saved when our church arises, that giant arises that Sandra was singing about. That giant wakes up, I'm telling you. Glory to God. Didn't Sister Pauline have a dream or a vision one time of a great sleeping giant and was starting to stir? Amen. Oh, let him not just stir, but wake up. Praise God. Amen. I know all of y'all want the power of God in our church. Could we come? Let's just spend some time in prayer. Let's ask God to help us grow, to help us win souls, to give us His power, to put His hand upon us in these times, that we might seek His face and do great things for Him. Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. Glory be to Jesus.